All right. Well, Lord, before we get started, we lift up our government. Lord, we pray that you would, I pray, God, that revival would break out in Washington, D.C., in the White House, in the Senate, in the Congress, in the Oval Office. I pray, God, that revival would break loose, Lord. You are a miracle working God, and Lord, we need a miracle. And so, Lord, you're the only one we can call on for at such a time as this. And so, Lord, we just lift this nation to you, God, to guide and direct. And I thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Welcome, welcome. Romans chapter 12 is where we're starting. I've preached on Romans chapter 12. I don't know how many times I've preached on these first couple of verses. And as something new just comes, it seems, each time that I read it. And Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2 says this: I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Before we move on, I want to look at some words in these verses. That first word there, beseech, it's akin to begging, to implore, to be moved deeply. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. You know the problem with living sacrifices? They crawl off the altar. That was a little humor, but anyway, everybody's tired. Living sacrifice, holy, acceptable. And then this verse ends with a very interesting few words: which is your reasonable service. So what it's saying is, this is just middle of the ground. To do these things, to present your body a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable, that's not going above and beyond. That's just middle of the road. Amen? And so we got to be challenged. These first 11 chapters of Romans reveals God's mercy to sinners, that he sent his son to die on a cross for our sins. The last five chapters explain our obligation to God. How many of you realize you have an obligation? In the early message of the letter, if the early message of the letter is the way we can all come to God through Christ, then the closing part of this letter is the way that you and I can live for God in Christ. There ought to come something of change in your life and mine when we accept Jesus as our Lord and Savior. There ought to be something that begins to well up within us that says, hey, I want to do something. We can't earn. We have to understand, church, we cannot earn our salvation. You can't earn any part of it. But you know what? Look at it this way. If you go get married, stand at the altar, say the I do's, the whole deal, and from that moment on, don't contribute to that marriage. You just show up. I mean, you just there. Cook me some dinner, wash my clothes, clean my house, blah, blah, blah. I'm just going to sit here in my chair. Are you married? Are you married? Are you married? You are married. You absolutely are married. But let me ask you this. How long y'all going to stay married? Huh? Probably unless your spouse is very, I don't even know what the word is. No, not demanding. Very patient, very caring, very easygoing. You know, things are going to turn bad. You're going to get bored with just sitting there and find other things to go and do, probably outside of the realm of the marriage. Are you following what I'm saying? It's the same way with our relationship to Christ. A lot of people want to just get saved and then just come to church, and it's as if we're buying fire insurance. Well, you're not buying fire insurance. There's a new relationship that's been established between you and God. And it was established through the shed blood of Jesus at the cross. And so that's why he says in these verses, you know, to present your body a living sacrifice. And then verse 2, don't be conformed to this world. How easy is it today to just be conformed to this world? I mean, this world screams at you and I. And here's what I've learned. I've learned that since I became a Christian, it screams at me a lot louder. Amen? But don't be conformed. Be transformed. Something, there should be something that has taken place in your life and mine when we become children of God, that of transforming nature. Our minds don't think the same way. Amen? That's why reading God's Word is important. I was doing my devotional this morning. Now Tammy thinks it's cute that I read to her in the morning before I... and you know, I'm always in a hurry at 2 o'clock in the morning. I'm in a hurry. Well, why don't you just read the whole chapter? It just said to read verse 1. No, read it all. Oh, well, all right. Our minds are transformed by the washing of the Word of God. So it's a good thing to read His Word, because it will renew your mind. And by doing so, we prove what's the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Romans 12 really offers like an outline for breaking the world's mold. And to put these directions in motion, it means to go against the flow of society. Think about that for a minute. Let me ask you this question. Do you want to reproduce spiritually? Because that's what we're called to do. We're called to reproduce ourselves in other people. We're to make disciples. Go into all the world. Remember, that's what it said? Go who? Ye. And who's ye? Ye be ye. That's good vernacular. I don't care who you are. It says, that's Myrtle Creekian right there. I don't care. Go ye, where? Into all the world and make disciples of every nation. So you're reproducing yourself in somebody else. To do that, you're going to have to go against the flow of society. And it's much like in this time of year, there are runs of fish that are coming from the ocean up the river. Any dead fish can float downstream. But it takes one with vitality and with a desire to reproduce, to make its way up. There's all kinds of obstacles that they have to overcome to get to their spawning grounds to reproduce. But there's something inside of them that drives them. And I'm telling you, church, there should be something inside of you and I that drives us and compels us to do more for the kingdom than what we're doing probably today. Right. That is true. That is true. And, but we have to look at it this way, too. It's a God-designed thing in them, and that's what drives them to fight their way. Oh, I mean, they got to go over dams and rocks and boulders and logs and just all this kind of stuff to get there. How willing are you and I to fight over and through some obstacles that will get in our way in society because there's something inside of me that says, I've got to reproduce myself. So we have to go against the flow of society, and yet God doesn't hesitate to confront you and I with the choice. Hello? Is this working? Hello? Is it working? So, the option... Well, this just gets mean right off the bat. The option is not whether we will conform, but rather, the choice is to whom will we conform? Will our lives follow the pattern of this world, or will our life follow God's pattern? Amen? So, because of God's great compassion for both the Jews and the Gentiles in offering salvation through Christ, Paul urges believers to please God with their daily life. What is the number one way? I don't know if it's the number one way, but it is a big way to please God. Well, you're all batting all the way around it, but you haven't hit it. The scripture says that in order for us to please God, we must have faith. What he says is without faith, it is impossible to please God. So then we have to go back and look at what faith is. What is faith? Faith is something that's bigger than what this building project that we're about to, we're in the process. And it is a process of faith because it is bigger than what than who we are. It's bigger than what we can handle, if I can put it that way. Because here's the thing, if we just sit down as a group and as a church body and everybody's just got all kinds of money and they just throw it all in the kitty and we just, you know, we're gonna do this, we're gonna do that, and yep, sure enough, over here in the lower right hand corner, which is where my wife is always looking, is over in the lower right hand corner because she's an accountant and a bookkeeper, and so everything ends up in the lower right hand corner. Is that right? In the lower right-hand corner is where the final numbers show up, right? Somebody help me with this. And what a bookkeeper and an accountant want is for that number in the bottom lower right-hand corner to be what color? Black. Because black means it's good. If that number is red, oh dear Jesus, we're in trouble. And so when we begin a project like this, if we can figure out a way to make this lower right-hand number black, what does that say to you? And not, you just zip it. G- You're not an accountant, apparently. It's obvious. All right. Where was I? What? So if we can figure this whole thing out and it's over here in the black, what does that say? No, you cannot say. She's like, can I say? We're in the black. We're in the black. But what does that say to us? That there is, that faith is not involved in that. Because we figured it all out. We made it happen. When it's in the red, that's when it's good. What's that? But not for a bookkeeper, but for a preacher, it's great. Because now our faith has to be activated. I'm not talking about just, you know, hey, jumping off a cliff somewhere. I'm not talking about that. But I'm talking about God wants our vision. God wants His people to rely on Him and to be risk takers. He wants us to dream big. Listen, we could build a nice little 100-seat auditorium out there and probably do it, you know, in a matter of months and that'd be great. But we'd have we would be full immediately. So we have no room for growth. We have no room for expansion. We have no room for outside ministry activities that we believe God wants to do. And I believe God wants to grow this church. Anybody with me on that one? I believe God wants to grow this church. And we're never going to grow the church if we don't have someplace to put them. So if even though we have some place to put them, if we don't have workers to tend to them, we're still in trouble. So that's why this Bible study, especially tonight, is so important, because something's got to happen in this group that says, hey, I've got to step up to the plate. I've got to be a teacher. I've got to be, you know, this. I've got to be that. I've got to do whatever, because they're going to be coming. And when they get here, we've got to be ready for them. That's why there's chairs out here right now. Because if they come in here and there's not chairs, how many of you know they're not going to stay? It's just a truth. The option isn't whether we'll conform, but to whom will we conform? So, Paul urges us to please God in our daily life. So the body then represents the total person. It is the instrument by which all of our service is given to God. It's through our body. You can sit and talk and do this and that, but what we do with this thing, in order to live for God, we must offer Him all that we are, represented by this body. What can this body do? What can those bodies do? What can those bodies do? That's where representation comes. The word offer has also been translated give, yield, or present. If our body is at God's disposal, He will have our free time, He will have our pleasures, and He will have all of our behavior. How many of you know life? Don't shoot me. But lives can be transformed over the end of a fishing rod. Lives can be ministered to and transformed on a deer stand somewhere. Lives can be transformed and ministered to working on some project together. There are all different ways and all different kinds of opportunities for us to minister. We just have to look for them. So, when sacrificing an animal according to the law of God, a priest would kill the animal and cut it in pieces and place it on the altar because sacrifice was important. But even in the Old Testament, God made it clear that obedience from the heart was much more important than even the sacrifice. And so we can give sacrificially, we can do all those kinds of things, but God's more concerned about what's outflowing from your heart than what you're giving. See, God wants us to offer ourselves as living sacrifices. Well, Pastor, I've only been saved just, a couple months. What can I do? Well, you can get with somebody and be discipled. You can be an usher. You don't have to have a degree in theology to be an usher. You don't have to have a degree in theology to stand over there at the door with a smile on your face and greet folks as they walk in the door. You just have to have a heart after God. That's all you have to have. And a desire to be used. I was around a pastor one time and he said to me this. He said, I don't put somebody in positions of ministry for like 2 years. And he said, I will just, you know, be just going along and have that person there with me just by chance, and I will drop my hat or drop a book or drop something to see what happens. And if that person is a servant, has a servant's heart, they'll reach down, they'll pick it up, and they'll give it to you. Or if they, I watch people, and if they just do things without being told to do them, much like you guys all did the other Sunday when you were getting chairs. I couldn't ask you to do that. You just did it. You know why? Because you have a servant's heart. That's what God's looking for. God wants us to offer ourselves as living sacrifices, laying aside daily our own desire to follow Him, putting all of our energy and resources at His disposal and trusting Him to guide us. Listen, don't get freaked out by me saying that God wants us to daily lay aside our own desires and follow Him and put all of our energy and all of our resources at His disposal. That doesn't mean He's going to come and take everything that we have. That's not what I'm saying. But He wants to know, where's your heart? Where's your heart? Or do you have a willingness to be used by God? Or do you just want to keep that chair from flying off? That's what we're talking about here. Our new life is a thank offering to God. Offering our body as a living sacrifice is holy and it's pleasing to God. So to be a holy sacrifice is to be completely set apart for God and dedicated to His service. The more you serve God and the closer you get to God, the more that's exactly what you're going to want to have. What is it? Matthew chapter 6 and verse 33 says, seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. And when you begin to seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, the things that you were seeking Him for, and as you begin to get closer and closer to Him, those things become less and less important because you just realize by just being with Him, it's all taken care of. It's an amazing thing that happens. So, those who are dedicated to God are pleasing to God because we can participate in His service. If you've never led anybody to Jesus, you have missed out on a great blessing. When I asked you what one of the important things is to please God, someone said to win souls. I don't know who said that. But in Proverbs, this is what Proverbs says. Proverbs says it is the wise who win souls. So if you want to be wise, at least in the sight of God, You should be winning souls, because the scripture in Proverbs says that the wise win souls. So if you're not set apart from your old life, you'll not be useful to God. That's not a very popular position in today's day and age. It really isn't. But there's a balance that we have to find, because we have a world that we have to reach for the kingdom. That's our mandate from heaven. And we can't sit in our glass cathedrals and hope that they just come in. We've got to go get them, church. We've got to go get them. We've got to go out and minister to them. We've got to present them with something that is attractive, that will garner their attention. And that can be your story. I've got a wild, crazy story. My life is quite the story. So is yours. You can't tell my story like I can tell my story. Some of you have been around me long enough to know what a lot of my story is, but there's parts of my story that you don't know about. And I've been around some of you, and I know your story, but I don't know all of your story. And your story, I'm calling it your story. The Bible refers to it as our testimony. And your testimony is the greatest tool that you have for reaching others with the gospel. Let me just tell you what God did for me, man. And you just tell them what God did for you, whatever that is. Romans 12 and 2 again says, "Do not be conformed to this world." When believers offer their entire self to God, a change will happen in their relation to the world. You don't have to go out. When you really just dedicate and give your whole life to Jesus, you don't have to go out and tell people, "Hey, guess what I did?" It will show. It will show. It will come out of you. Your actions will be different. When this change will happen. Christians are called to a different lifestyle than the world offers, with its behavior and customs, which are usually selfish and often corrupting. A lot of fun here tonight, isn't it? Christians are to live as citizens of a future world. This world is not my home. The Bible says I'm a sojourner. I'm a pilgrim. I'm just passing through this place. There's a place being built for you and I. We're to live as citizens. You know what the Bible calls us? Ambassadors. Ambassadors. There's going to be pressure to conform, to continue living according to the script that has been written by the world. You and I, however, as believers, are forbidden to give into that pressure. We're above and not beneath. We're the head, not the tail. We've been born again. This world's not our home. Our values have changed. My values have changed. Many Christians wisely decide that much worldly behavior is off limits for them. And after all, it is not our objective to find out just how much like the world we can become and yet still maintain our distinctives. That's fun, isn't it? But yet, if you heard me on Sunday, that's exactly what I was doing when I was in high school. I was thinking about all the different religions and what which one of them I could be in and still get away with the most. And that's not pleasing to God. He wants to know whether we... Because listen, Jesus, when he went to the cross, he didn't just almost die. They didn't just almost beat him. They didn't just almost bury him. He was dead. He was graveyard dead. Our objective is not to find out how much like the world. How many of you know you don't even have to try to be like the world? You are like the world. If we're not living for Jesus, we are the world. So refusing to conform to this world's values has to go even deeper than the level of behavior and customs. It must be firmly planted in our minds. And it says in this verse of Scripture to be transformed by the renewing of your mind. How many of you know some of us need our mind renewed? Buddy, I'll tell you, if anybody in this place needs their mind renewed, it's me. I'm telling you, I can't hardly remember what I had for supper tonight, which is an hour ago, but there's things that have happened in my life that just, they just pop up. Anybody? Ron? Me and you, brother. Lord of God. There's got to be a transformation. The enemy's going to use those things in your past to try and defeat you. We have to understand there's a renewal process going on up here. Amen? There's a renewal process. The Greek word for transformed is where we get our word metamorphosis. Metamorphosis. It's like, oh man, A Bug's Life. I have grandkids, so everything gets related back to children's movies, but wasn't it The Bug's Life when that big old caterpillar, I'm a beautiful butterfly, he said. Metamorphosis happened. You know, anyway, a lot. I've seen it a lot. But that's what metamorphosis, I mean, he was just a caterpillar, but then he is transformed into this beautiful butterfly. It's metamorphosis. It's the root for the English word metamorphosis, and believers are to experience a complete transformation from the inside out, and the change has to begin in the mind where all the thoughts and the actions begin, because I promise you this tonight, if you're having struggles, they start right there. Amen? If we're struggling with something, if there's a battle going on, it started right there with a thought. Paul wrote in his letter to the church at Ephesus in chapter 4 and verses 22 through 24, he says, "You were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, to be made new in the attitude of your mind, and to put on the new self created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness." Woo! That's a mouthful, isn't it? So one of the keys then to the Christian life is to be involved in activities that renew your mind. To renew your mind. And how do we renew our mind? How do we renew your... Somebody say it. Listen. Those are all cute words. I want to know, what does the Bible say? You are the students. You're the college grade students here. What does your Bible say? By the washing and the regeneration of the Word of God in your mind. That's how we renew our mind, through the washing of the Word of God. Yes, reading the Bible. That's it. But I wanted to pull that out of you. Amen. So renewing then, one of the keys to the Christian life is to be involved in activities. What are some activities that will renew your mind? For me right now, it's being dedicated, regardless of what hour my alarm clock goes off, I'm committed to doing a devotional. However small it might seem, it's the Word of God is going in my mind. So that's, for me, that's an activity that I'm using to renew my mind. Your women's group tomorrow morning, that's an activity. Tonight's Bible study is an activity to renew our mind. Sir. Do I what? I put my armor on before I get out of bed. The truth is we shouldn't take it off. That's the truth. We shouldn't take it off. So renewing refers to a new way of thinking. A mind desiring to be conformed to God rather than the world. In the world of driving, if you're driving, and most of you, well, all of you should know this, but when you're driving, if you start to lose control of your car, 99.9% of you in this room probably think the first thing to do is put on the brakes, which is the absolute wrong thing to do. In that moment, you need to drive in that moment. You need to drive, not because you can't control something that's skidding by making it skid more. Does that make any sense? You've got to drive it. If you're sliding this way, you have to turn that way. That's the way I'm going to crash. I know. You got to change your thinking. Because if you don't go the way you're skidding, you're going to crash. You're going to crash. It's just one of those things. We got to change the way we think. So we got to get a new way of thinking, a mind that is desiring to be conformed to God rather than to the world. We will never truly be transformed without this renewing of our mind. Much of the work is done, you're going to like this part, much of the work is done by God's Spirit in us. And the tool most frequently used is, the Word, the Bible, exactly right. So the Bible claims the ability to judge what? According to Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12. What is God's Word claim to have the ability to judge? Just per chance. You brat. you guys have an inside back there. Holy cow. That a girl. Good job. Way to be a team player back there, Michelle. Taking care of your people out here, giving them the answers. The thoughts and the attitudes of the heart, according to Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12. And so as we begin to, how many of you can just memorize that? I'm around people, you just tell them something one time, you never have to tell them again. They just locked in. Anybody in here like that? nobody, I'm in great company. Well, yeah. Yeah. We're talking guns and stuff like that. I'm like, oh, yeah, all right, man. See, memorization of Scripture. Does anybody struggle with that? I struggle with that. I struggle with memorizing Scripture. But as we memorize and meditate on God's Word, our way of thinking changes. Now, I struggle with memorization, but I read God's Word, and this is what I've learned. When I need it, it just, hey. Yeah. Shuffling through all this stuff. She said it. She said, it's the Holy Spirit. And that's exactly what I just talked about just a minute ago when I said whatever it was that I said. It's God's Spirit in us. It's God's Spirit. Sorry, it's been a long day. It's God's Spirit in us. Why do you think He's in there? He guides us. He brings those things up. And as we meditate and memorize His Word, it changes our way of thinking. Our mind first becomes first in... Let me get this right. Our minds become first informed and then conformed to the pattern pattern of God, the pattern for which we were originally designed. So first thing is informed. We have information. That's what you're getting tonight. You're receiving tonight, not just from me, but from God's Word. You're receiving information. And the receiving of the information is to transform your mind. Does that make sense? So the end result then is that we've been transformed. Right? I'm a beautiful butterfly. That's the idea. There ought to be something beautiful about your life and mine when we begin to walk with the Lord and things begin to take place and you begin to change because you change from the inside out. And you can smile where before you had nothing whatsoever that you could smile about. But now all of a sudden I've got a smile on my face. People be like, what? What in the world? What have you been up to? Well, let me tell you. And you get to share with them. When believers have had their minds transformed and are becoming more like Christ, they'll want God's will and not their own will for their life. Listen, I got plans for my life. But way more than the plans that I have for my life, I want God's plan in my life to be fulfilled. Because whatever He's got planned for me, I know way better than what I could ever come up with. And only as we're being transformed will we be able to know and to do and to enjoy what God desires for them. How many of you know that God desires to, or God wants to give us and grant us the desires of our heart? God wants to, oftentimes we think, well, God's Word is just all, Pastor, all you're talking about is this restrictive stuff. I got to do this and my mind and all this. But you know what? I want to go hunting and I want to go fishing and I want to build that and I want to sow this over there and I want to cook. God wants to grant us the desires of our heart. And He will as we begin to walk in his, and are obedient to what He has for us to do. When He says, hey, I want you to go over and talk to Tom about salvation or whatever, and just go be a blessing. You know what? Just go lay hands on Tom and just be a, you know, just let him know that God loves him. Tom, you know, he's having a bad day. I'm just picking on him. But when you are obedient to God and you go over and you begin to minister to him, you're going to get ministered to back by the Holy Spirit. And God's going to be pleased with that. I remember a time in St. George, Utah, in our church. We hadn't been there very long. We were in the very first rented building that we had. And this guy came in, great big guy, and he came in, sat in the back, and the Lord kept telling my wife, "You need to go and minister to that guy." She's like, "I ain't doing it. Not doing it." And she didn't. She sat there the whole service, and the whole time the Lord's telling her, "You need to go and minister to that guy." She wouldn't do it. Finally, at the end of the service, I was done, we'd prayed, she went back and ministered to that guy, began to talk to him. He had just been in a truck wreck. He had just gotten out of the hospital. His family had left him, so he was just, you know, devastated. He'd wrecked this truck. And he came to the church. How in the world he found out about us was that on the billboard, on the community board at the truck stop down there on Interstate 15, somebody had stuck one of our business cards. And he came to the church and he said, "If God doesn't do something for me tonight, I'm going to go back to my truck." And he had this knife and he's going to kill himself. And he told us that story after she'd went and ministered to him. And he gave me the knife because he didn't want to have it with him anymore. We've got to come to the place, regardless of what our mind will tell us. "Oh, you can't go talk to that person. You're going to make a fool out of yourself." It saved that guy's life. And you and I don't know enough about any given situation to make the judgment, "Nope, I'm not going to do it." Because her just going and talking to him said, "Hey, God does care about me, and so I'm not going to kill myself. I'm not going to end my own life." By obedience. The only way that we'll all be transformed and that we'll be is enjoy what God desires. Knowing God's will, I'm closing with this because this is going to be a mouthful. Knowing God's will isn't always easy. And even less so when it's not defined in every aspect by a set of laws and regulations. But it is possible if we willingly submit to and depend on God. Only then can we know it. Only then can we begin the even more difficult task of doing it. Church, if God brings something up inside of you to go and talk to Rick or to Tom or, you know, to Cindy or whoever, if God brings that up and you push it back down, and God brings it back up again, you push it back down. If God brings it back up again, listen, deal with it. Be obedient to what the Holy Spirit is speaking to you. Only then can you know it. And it's a difficult task of doing it. But remember that there's nothing that is as exhilarating as being in the will of God for your life. There's nothing more satisfying than to be obedient to God and go and talk to somebody and know that you just saved that person's life. I've preached messages, and the whole time I'm preaching them, I'm thinking, this is the stupidest thing I've ever said in my entire life. makes absolutely no sense. I don't even know what I'm talking about for whatever reason. It's just like, God, I'm standing up here and I'm just, does anybody want to get saved? Bam, 15 people get up out of their chair and come to the altar. We all want to get saved. I'm like, where'd that come from? Well, it's a pretty good indicator that it ain't got nothing to do with me and everything to do with God. And whatever was being said was ministering to people. It might not make a lot of sense to you, what God's calling you to do. It might not just be full of fluff and bells and whistles, but somebody is getting ministered to by what you're doing or saying, and God reaps the reward. It's the Holy Spirit. I'll do the preaching. It's the Holy Ghost. That's why I pray, Lord, use this, cause me to decrease, and you increase in me. Because the Holy Ghost can do more in 2 seconds than I can do in 2 hours. I'm done. We're going to pick it up in Romans chapter 6 and verse 22. Next week, you're going to be starting off talking about holiness and everlasting life. Those ought to be interesting discussions. Listen, I want you to go from here tonight encouraged and not discouraged. There's no greater joy than serving the Lord. There is just no greater joy. I've done some crazy stuff. I've done some great fun stuff, some very rewarding stuff, but there's nothing more rewarding than serving God. Nothing gets me more excited than giving an altar call and seeing people come. That's what God's wired me to do, and to impart God's word into you so that you can do that as well. I believe right out there in that parking lot, there's going to be a magnificent building built, a soul-saving station for the glory of God. And He's going to use every one of you. And you know what that means? That means every soul that gets saved, whether you're giving online, whether you're being a part online, or whether it's in this room and you're giving in the offering, or you're praying for the, it doesn't make any difference. Everything that you've done, anything you've done, every soul, my pastor, every life that I pray for, for a salvation or whatever, my pastor is getting part credit for that because of what he put in me. And everything that happens here, you're going to get credit also for what happens in the spiritual realm, for what happens because of this building and that new building. It's just the way it works. I'm glad I don't have to sort it all out, but that's just how it works. You will get blessed. You are a blessing. And when folks come from far and wide and get touched by God, whether in this brick building or in that new building, it's going to be because you've given, you've prayed, you've sacrificed, whatever the case may be, God is going to see to it that you're blessed. Amen? Father, I thank you for today and for your goodness. I thank you for your word. Your word is truly transforming. And God, it's transformed this guy's life, and it's transformed so many of the rest of us, Lord. God, we just weren't on the top of the heap, so to speak, before we met you. But Lord, you are doing something in each one of us. Some of us have been doing this for a long time. Others of us tonight are just getting our feet wet. We're just getting started good. But Lord, you have a purpose and a plan for such a time as this. And you're going to use each and every one of us, Lord, to grow your kingdom. Whether we're watching by way of the internet, you're enjoying sitting at home tonight, and you're watching this by way of the internet. But I'm telling you, almost prophetically that there's coming a time when the Lord is going to jerk you up out of that chair, throw you out of that house, and put you into the game plan, put you out on the field to do what God's wired you and ordained you to do for such a time as this. So don't be afraid of that. Be prepared for that. Renew your mind through the washing and the regeneration of the Word of God, and just know that God's going to use you. And He don't care how old you are or how young you are. He's going to begin to use you, whether you're watching by way of the internet or in this room today. God is going to use you. To God be the glory and the honor and the praise in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen and amen. Hey, God bless you. Thanks for watching tonight. I hope you got something out of this. And I pray that God uses you in a mighty way. Amen. God bless you and good night.